Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good healing packers. Iman Hamid here, and happy to be with you one more time. Today we're going to have a fantastic conversation with a wonderful Dr. Nanette Mitchell, who's the medical director of the internal medicine at Huntington Beach. And hello, Nanette, are you there?
Hello, Amin June.
Oh, nice to see you.
Amen.
Don't be surprised, Amin and I, you are good listeners, Amin and I are brothers, and ever since we were kids, people always used to mix up our names, calling Amin, Amin, so on and so forth. So you can call me any one of those names that you want. I promise I will respond.
I've known you both so many years.
yes, our good listeners. Dr. Mitchell was a very good friend and is a very good friend since college days. We are not going to go back to how many years those are, but we're just going to leave it at that. I'm extremely happy that she has accepted our invitation to come and speak with us and with you to share information about the new ways that Western medicine is integrating to help the people. We will be talking about integrative medicine and Dr. Mitchell, you're going to have to help me with this name again. Ayurveda?
Ayurvedic medicine, yeah. I would like to speak a little about that later on.
Excellent. And we're going to also be talking about homeopathy and a lot of good information. I have a feeling we're going to have a very, very enjoyable day and conversation. And as always, I invite you to take deep and slow breaths, smile, enjoy yourselves during these days, even though not everything may be as perfect as we would like them to be. We know, and you know, as we live our lives, we go through a series of ups and downs, a series of challenges versus successes, a series of better days or maybe not so such a good days. It's just the nature of life. The ups and downs are the nature of life. Everything is based on energy. And energy moves in waves. Waves have peaks and waves have valleys. So as such, it's very normal for us to have days that we are doing better and days that we are not doing so great. The challenge, the excitement, the joy and pleasure of life is to cruise through the days that we are not doing so great with ease, with love, with joy, with peace, with compassion. And the days that we are doing really superbly, we're doing really nice, to continue repeating, doing whatever it is that we do, to bring our hearts, to bring our love, to bring our care, and share it with other people. So how is your day? How is your night going right now? Please, take a moment. Become aware and look at the way you are breathing. Breathe deeper. Breathe slower. Smile. Even if you have to fake it, it's okay. It is good to use our fantastic, powerful, awesome minds and thinking to help us in the directions that we want to be, in the desired vision of the effects that we want for our lives. Our minds do a fantastic job of planning and playing and working with everything undesired. So we can also switch the button and use our minds to play with things which are desired. We're going to be talking to Dr. Mitchell on a variety of different subjects, and I'm sure that a lot more details will come in. What I like to do at this moment is to share that the next hour that we will spend together on this radio podcast through Healing Pack channel is the hour to consider the possibilities of how wonderful A, life is, already is, and B, it can get better. How much better it can get, I should say. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for keeping us among the top 1-3% in the spirituality category of Blog Talk Radio. Within about 4,000 episodes, I believe, so far. You guys are fantastic. And we are happy that you are finding our podcasts and our sharings useful. We thank you. We love the fact that you keep us 5-star rated in iTunes. It is good to know that we are being of service. Is there something you need specifically help with? Help is as easy as an email or phone call away. We are Healing Pack, and you are included in the we part. Your home is at www.healingpack.org. That is healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, P as in Paul, A as in Annette, and Q as in Queen.org. You can also email us at help@healingpack.org. Let us know how we can help you, what programs we can bring to you, what areas we can give you the information that we have gathered throughout the many years that we've had this nonprofit organization. Our nonprofit organization is an educational organization. Pardon me. And we will bring it to you. There is help. There is hope. There is love. And there is you. Let's get it all together, integrate everything together, and just do well. Speaking of doing well, we do offer a series of self-healing classes through the internet and phone. The reason we do it by internet and by phone is so that you do not have to travel anyplace, and so that you can attend from anywhere that you would like in the world. The classes are Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. The information is on healingpack.org. We also offer a series of monthly seminars and practice sessions. Most anything we do, our good friends, are about doing, not just talking. Even though I'm talking up a storm at the moment, I just have to do that. That's my responsibility at this moment. The seminars, the monthly seminars, are in Orange County, Southern California. If you're around, if you would like to practice in person, send us an email to help@healingpack.org. My name is Eamon. I do teach weekly classes in San Diego. The county of San Diego happens to be my home county. So if you're in San Diego, you're welcome to join us there. And everything else, we can handle through the internet using the technology, and we would love to hear from you. If you like the programs, we would appreciate your donations. It does take money to keep these airwaves open and the website, so on and so forth. And we also use the money that you donate to Healing Pack as a 501c3 nonprofit to allow and extend scholarships to people who need them and who cannot afford them. If you need a scholarship to our self-healing class, please let us know. We have never, ever rejected anyone, and we are not going to start with you And I believe that's everything I want to talk about right now. So we're going to go right back to the wonderful Dr. Nanette Mitchell. Okay, Dr. Mitchell, we quietly and gently touched on college days from many years ago. Would you please share with us a little bit about your background, your education, your practices? Just tell us who Nanette Mitchell is, please.
Yes, Amen. I'm so I keep saying it. I'm so appreciative to share this time with you and your listeners.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us, Dr. Mitchell.
Yes, I've been in practice for 30 years. I graduated in 1983 from UC San Francisco Medical School and went on to do a residency in internal medicine and a fellowship. Attended a fellowship in infectious disease. And since that time, I've had quite a few positions. I've been medical director of a hospital, of utilization, a hospitalist, and a private practitioner for many years. So I am board certified in internal medicine, but I'm also board certified in integrative medicine. And a lot of people don't really know what that is. So that's why I wanted to give people more information about what that integrative medicine really means.
That is so true, and we appreciate that. Yes, exactly. Go ahead and tell us, what is integrative medicine, Dr. Mitchell?
So what integrative medicine does is it takes allopathic medicine, or that's more the standard medical school-trained medicine, and combines that with multiple modalities. It combines the allopathic medicine with alternative medicines and therapies that are available. So you have kind of the best of both worlds, where you have the standard medical therapies available, but in addition to that, you're given quite a few other modalities to help people out. It's quite different. Integrative medicine encompasses mind, body, soul, and how that mind, body, spirit, how that affects a person's well-being. Whereas allopathic medicine often does not encompass all those entities. They're more looking at the cure for disease, whereas integrative medicine is focusing on well-being.
Okay. So one is concentrating on the disease to find the best approaches, best path to possibly maintain and manage the disease and secondly eliminate it. And the other one is concentrating on the wellness, how the body, be it the physical body, the emotional thought body, and maybe the spiritual body can do better? Is that what I'm hearing, Doctor?
Exactly. So well-being is a lot different from curing disease. You're getting to your goal is a lot different. In integrative medicine, the practitioner works in a partnership with a person. And it's to help a person get back to balance and stimulate their own healing mechanisms. So, I mean, I knew even before I went to medical school, health is not just giving a pill or having a surgery, but you really want to get into a state of well-being. That's what most people want to be in, where you feel good, you feel energetic. For example, you can have someone come in with an inflamed gallbladder, send them for surgery, and the gallbladder's taken out. And that particular problem will be resolved. But an integrative physician wants to look deeper into that, to look at what is out of state in that person's spiritual being, their nutritional status, try to get them back in balance, what set off the initial gallbladder inflammation. So that's a lot different. You see, each person's unique and has an inherent quality to heal. So an integrative medicine person is trying to help that person facilitate those inherent healing mechanisms.
And what you're sharing, Doctor, makes a lot of sense, because if I'm coming in with any sort of disease and problem, yes, we can do the surgery, yes, we can do the medication and get rid of that particular problem and disease at that moment. But if my lifestyle choices and habits and practices are the cause of that issue, that problem to surface, chances are in 6 months, a year, or two, or three, or whatever amount of time that is, the problem will surface again.
Exactly.
Have you been dealing with people who are experiencing that exactly?
Many times. Sometimes you'll see someone who has a cancer, you cure the cancer, and they'll come up with a different cancer several years later because whatever is disrupting the body's healing process is still there. You'll see that quite a bit. Or for instance, your body wants to heal. Say you get a cut in your skin. Your body knows how to heal that cut. But say you have a nutritional deficiency, you don't have enough vitamin C, or you're stressed and your cortisol levels are high, which does decrease your white blood cell activity and healing ability, you're going to heal slower. So you want to look at what you can do to help your body facilitate healing. So integrative medicine uses multiple modalities to help the mind, spirit, and body get into balance. Modalities will include such things as meditation or energy healing like Healing Pack does, visualization, hypnosis, acupuncture, Ayurvedic medicine, yoga, Chinese herbal medicine, homeopathy, pranayana breathing. It looks at quite a few modalities that help people get back into balance, and it has to be individualized.
From all the modalities that you just mentioned, Dr. Mitchell, which it's very obvious, if any one person wants to learn about all these modalities and get into them, I should say, they have to probably be studying and practicing like you have for the past 30 years. So how do you figure out what to do, how to approach when somebody comes to you with the maybe the challenge of obesity, how do you go about it? Could you give us an example?
Well, obesity is, as you probably know, has quite a few factors that contribute to it. So, okay. As an integrative medicine person, you're going to look at the mind, spirit, body, and really try to figure out what's best for each individual person. It's a complex disorder. You know, by definition, you look at the body mass index, BMI. You can actually look that up on the internet. People can evaluate their own BMI by their health and weight. So less than 18 is considered underweight, 18 to 25 normal. 25 to 30 is obese.
Yes.
And the projections are the majority of people are going to be obese within the next 5 years, including children. That's phenomenal in this country.
Yes, it is.
You don't see that other places in the world. So a standard MD will see that patient and tell them, lose weight, go on a low-fat diet, low-carb diet, 1,600 calories, exercise 20 minutes, three times a day. It's pretty standardized. They'll do things like offer phentermine or Ali or there's some off-label uses of medicines, Wellbutrin, Topamax, these type of things to fight obesity. But it often doesn't work, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
So an integrative practitioner will try to look at the whole person's situation, figure out what stressors in life are causing this patient to overeat, causes of overeating such as loneliness, fear, anxiety, boredom, and anger are often why people overeat. And they will look at lifestyle changes such as relationship, job changes, and offer them yoga, meditation, hypnosis support groups, just a variety of modalities to help that person fight obesity.
Excellent.
And there are some specific, you know, to give them, evaluate that person more specifically and find out what type of foods are going to be best for that person. Just saying low fat or low carb diet is not going to really be the answer. So I want to talk a little bit about Ayurvedic medicine.
Okay.
Because Ayurvedic medicine it's a modality that is pretty in-depth. I mean, people spend years and years and years studying it. So we're not going to really go into in-depth, but we can go a little bit in some preliminary ideas of how Ayurvedic medicine is. Ayurvedic medicine has been around 1,000 years. It originated in India. It's one of the oldest medical modalities we have available. It is complex, but I will talk a little bit about the three doshas that they can, one way to categorize people and find out what's best for them. In fact, you can even go online and you can Google what's your dosha, baby. It's a 24-question quiz.
Uh-huh.
And in that quiz, you can do just a very preliminary idea of what your predominant dosha is. So the doshas correspond with mind-body characteristics. And there's three of them, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, that the Ayurvedic practitioners look at. Vata is kind of an earth wind, is the earth element that Vata people have as a predominance. You might think of an animal like the gazelle as Vata. People are thin, they tire easily. They're talkative, outgoing. They're often quick to learn, forgiving, and creative. But when they get out of balance, you might have anxiety, constipation, and forgetfulness. Pitta people have the earth element fire. And what you might think of as an animal like a tiger. They're usually medium build, but they're often intelligent and focused leaders. When they get out of balance, though, your Pitta people, when that become Pitta predominant and out of balance, they can be angry, jealous, and quick-tempered. So when you see that in a Pitta people, you need to, there's a lot of modalities to get that Pitta back in balance. A predominantly Kapha person, which is the water or earth element, you'll think of an animal like an elephant. They're often heavy set.
Yes.
When it's in balance, they're strong, they have good stamina, they're loving and patient, loyal. These are your nurturers. But when they get out of balance, when the Kapha is out of balance, they can often be lazy, sleep a lot, stubborn, and lethargic.
Uh-huh.
So when you see a person with a Kapha imbalance, there are many ways to get that back into balance. So when an Ayurvedic practitioner will look at a person and give specific type of recommendations depending on which dosha they feel is out of balance. For instance, they don't recommend, for Pitta people, they don't recommend spicy foods or hot foods. They like more cooling foods like cucumbers, cold, uncooked vegetables. They'd recommend an exercise that is more competitive or team sports exercises for Pitta people, or cooling sports such as swimming and diving. So that's way different than just 20 minutes of exercise a day, every day of the week. You see? You're looking more at the person and individualizing it. A Vata predominant person would be better with things like low impact exercises, yoga, and walking. And you would recommend more cooked vegetables, nuts, especially almonds and oats, sweet fruits, and warm soups. So you're really individualizing it. A Kapha dosha predominance, you would recommend more stimulating regular exercise, such as running and bodybuilding. And Kaphas do better with warm baths and jacuzzis because they're often cold. So that's way different. It's way different from giving the standardized prescription, like this is what you need to do if you're overweight, than individualizing it for a specific person.
Very nice. First of all, thank you so much. We often set our intention for this podcast to bring good information to our listeners, and I'm so excited because I'm learning so much. The Ayurvedic is completely new for me. So thank you for sharing this with us and teaching us and educating us. So let me ask you this, Doctor. Does everybody have the three doshas and probably a mix of the three, or is it like you're just in one of these doshas and that's your primary and nothing else of any other nature? What happens there? Could you open that up for us, please?
Well, people have often have a predominant dosha.
Okay.
But there are combination, and I've seen people take different. This is the what's your baby. What's your dosha, baby, is just so easy because it's 60 seconds and it's quick. But, I mean, there's a lot more extensive evaluations if you were going to an Ayurvedic practitioner.
Got it.
And a lot of people are combinations. You very seldom find someone that's, you know, a 777, where it's equal. You really will usually find people who are more predominant in one. But there are a few people who you will find that. A lot of people are Vata. You'd be surprised at the number of Vata people in our society. But it does, and it's, but it does change. Different times of life, you may have more of one dosha than another. For instance, a lot of, as people get older, they often become more kapha dominant and nurturing, and that can be a predominant dosha. So it does change, to answer your question. It can also change in times of the year. For instance, you may have more pitta in the summer and you need more of the cooling foods, cooling exercises to bring that down. So it's all in a balance. And again, the key here, and in most of integrative medicine, is balance. And most of the alternative medicines, Chinese herbal medicine, all of these things, it's bringing things back into balance.
So if I go, and our good listeners, I'm looking at, as the Dr. Mitchell suggested, I just Googled what's your dosha, and this website is up, which is what's yourdosha.com, and there is the quiz and you can take it, and it's all free, available for you.
Exactly.
So as I take this quiz, doctor, and I come and I realize, oh, my Vata is very strong and I need to do something about it, there is the whole concept that I should not fall out of whack, scaring myself that I'm too much of this and I'm too little of that, because depending on what I'm experiencing, what's going on, and what I'm practicing, I can adjust these different doshas and bring the balance that you talked about to myself.
Exactly. So you may be Vata dominant, but still in balance.
Okay.
Right.
And what are your experiences on, what do you find out? Are people, like when people come to you and you start helping them and you start sharing possible ways for them to improve themselves, do you typically find them to be very loving and caring and giving and forgiving on themselves, or do you find them to be very difficult and tight and critical of themselves, or somewhere in between? What are you noticing out there?
Well, in my practice, a lot of it is psychological problems that people come in with. Depression and anxiety, insomnia. You see that it's predominant in our society. Panic attacks. Up to 70-80% of people in our society at some time in their life have panic attacks. So I don't know about other countries, but in our country, it's very common. But I do believe a lot of it has to do with our thought processes, and that's why the meditation, the staying, keeping yourself in that loving thought pattern Which healing pack is so useful and helpful to people, is so essential and key to everything else. Because if you're not in that state, it's hard to really get the rest of yourself balanced. Because so you're just surviving. You're in a crisis and you're just surviving. You're not really listening to your intuition, on what your body needs, I think people know inherently a lot of times if they can get in tune with their intuition, and that's my job as a integrative medicine practitioner, is really to work in partnership with the person and give them some guidance into finding out what they need. They know they need to get well, you see?
Yes, definitely. So generally what I think you are sharing with us is that when we notice there is something challenging us, there is something troubling us, there is also the potentiality of practicing and improving. So we are really just noticing how much better we can do if we don't take out the bat and start beating on ourselves for having done bad already. Is that
exactly? Exactly.
Okay. Excellent. So there is always help. There is always hope.
Oh, people can always move forward.
Excellent.
And people are so hard on themselves. I even treat many addictive people on addictive substances. There's a lot of heroin around nowadays, which is really frightening. But people relapse, and the addicts are so hard on themselves. And I always say it's two steps forward. Sometimes it's one step back, but what happens is they spiral down as they get into the guilt and the unforgiving of themselves. But you have to keep moving forward. And again, a lot of times people who get into addictive states, they're trying to drown out the negative thoughts that they have. So it goes right back to the mind.
Got it. And you shared with us about Ayurvedic practices. How about homeopathy?
So homeopathy is a unique philosophy. It was developed in the 19th century by a German physician named Samuel Hahnemann. And homeopathy actually comes from the Greek words homeos, which means similar, and pathos, which means suffering. So it's kind of opposite of what allopathic medicine's theories are. In allopathic medicine, you have a urine infection, you give an antibiotic. Or you have arthritis with inflammation, you give an anti-inflammatory. In homeopathy, you actually give the person very, very dilute amounts of what causes the problem. So, and that actually, they consider that stimulates your body's healing response to the process. So a substance that can cause symptoms in a healthy person is given to stimulate self-healing in a person with the illness. So that's very, very different from the allopathic. In allopathic medicine, the stronger the dose of the antibiotic is considered stronger, whereas in homeopathy, the more dilute the substance is considered to be stronger. So that's total opposites of theory. So
yes.
Some common in fact, in homeopathy, they do a full evaluation, and they may, for tonsillitis, give a whole different treatment between two different people, whereas often in allopathic, you'll give the same treatment. It's very different. I've been using the I don't know if you've heard of the oscillococcium for the flu. We've seen a lot of flu this year. And what it does is it actually stimulates your system to help with the healing.
Yes.
I mean, you have Tamiflu, which is an antiviral, but this is totally opposite. It takes the body and stimulates the body to do self-healing. Another homeopathic remedy is arnica, and arnica can actually We use it a lot in the alternative medicine realm to help with trauma and bruising. It's used for arthritis. But in very high doses, it actually is inflammatory. So you see the difference. Instead of giving an anti-inflammatory, you're giving a very low dose inflammatory and causing the body to heal.
To heal itself, yes.
Yeah,
to actually bring the
body.
Now, this opens up a very good subject that I would like to have your opinion on it. Western medicine versus Eastern medicine. It appears the Western medicine has become more open to accepting, integrating, and playing with the Eastern medicine and using them. Is that a correct assumption or observation? What are your observations throughout your practice?
Yes, I think physicians are becoming much more open to the alternative modalities. It still is not
mainstream,
and it's not represented in a lot of the education that we have in our medical schools. But a lot of that is patient-derived, too. There's a lot of patient interest in these modalities, and I think people know intuitively that there's a lot more to health than just giving pills or having surgery.
Surgeries.
The alternative medicine field in terms of products that people buy is a $20 billion industry.
Yes.
So this isn't coming from the physicians, but it's patient-derived. People are looking for other ways to heal besides the standard ways. So, and they know that things more natural often have less side effects. So it really is patient-driven, and I think that's great.
That is fantastic. And just like anything else, as we hear about, learn about, and possibly practice and get the benefits of the new approaches, the integrative approach, there is also a lot of fluff that comes. There are a lot of claims which are out there. And I'm a simple-minded guy. I you know, it's complex subjects and complex practices, they really never keep my intention. So say I'm coming to you, and I want to pick up and learn about practices that would improve the quality of my life, help me live a better, healthy life. How would you advise me? What would you suggest that I look into, what to do, so on and so forth, in a very generic, and I understand my question is so open-ended and it's extremely bird's eye view and maybe oversimplified. But when a person comes to you and you just want to consult them and advise them on better life choices, better habits, maybe integrating some new ways of doing things into everyday practices and habits. How would you advise me, please?
So that's where it's a very good question. And that's why it's so important to, if you're seeing an integrative medicine doctor, someone who will partnership with you. You establish that relationship where that person gets to know you and understand what is going on with you, mind, spirit, and body. And that way can guide you through the knowledge that they have of different modalities available and what your life is, what you're going through. But it's a partnership, and I think that's the most important part of it, to find someone who's knowledgeable of what's available to you and figure out it's helping you figure out what you need.
Exactly.
So it's different from an autocratic relationship where you have this problem, you need this, here's the answer. The real answer is working in partnership with you to help you figure out what you need and having the knowledge of what's available. So that takes time, and it takes someone who's in that mindset. but it's very, very important.
So I believe what you're sharing with me is that first I have to be patient and allow for some time, not have the typical expectation of give me two pills and call me in the morning or have a surgery and just be done with it sort of thing.
Exactly.
And I think you also are sharing that I have to be open and trusting, meaning that I will need to allow for something different to come in. I will have to trust the doctor, the practitioner, the person who's sharing with me in a sense of truly telling them what it is that's hindering me. And I believe there was also the message of be consistent, keep going and keep trying. Would those three principles be the general requirements to do integrative medicine, to benefit from integrative medicine, doctor?
Yes, it's developing a partnership. So many times I have people come in, again, going back to the obesity question, they want a pill, and that's all they want.
Yes.
They want the pill, and they want, or they want, you know, bypass surgery. But I've seen patients go through many bypass surgeries, and 3-4 years, they've gained the 60 pounds back again because they really haven't done the work to get the spiritual and mind balance integrated into their problem. Or the depression, they come in, they want an antidepressant, get better with that, when there's a lot of other factors that need to be dealt with.
Excellent. So, okay, I love what I'm hearing. I like the way Dr. Mitchell sounds. How do I get in touch with you? How do I tap into your expertise and benefit from some of these good teachings, doctor?
Well, there are many integrative medicine people in the area.
Okay.
In most places of the country. So the best way is to, you know, you can actually look online to who in your area is board certified in integrative medicine. The other caution I like to give people is there are a lot of people out there selling snake oil. And they
yes.
say, you know, if you take this, you're going to be better 100% and it's $500. When, as we all know, that's not the answer. So I would recommend if you're going to pursue this, it would be better to find someone who's board certified in integrative medicine. But do be careful of snake oil, because there are a lot of people who say they have all the answers. They want to take a lot of your money, and they're not giving you the full modalities that are available to you. And I've had people come in with abscesses, and they're putting oregano oil on it. And yes, oregano oil is good for infections, but when it gets to a certain point, you do need the allopathic medicine. So, or it can be dangerous. So it's good to have someone who can do both the alternative therapies, but still have the allopathic medicines available to you. That's important.
And I believe a very good common sense approach also is tip your toes first. Go to the professional and try out when you're not in a hugely problematic situation. Open yourself up, maybe take on some practices. Dr. Mitchell, Nanette mentioned meditation a few times.
Definitely.
Physical exercise a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Going to a calm and peace environment to reduce your stress, maybe smile. I've been in U.S. for a long time, and one of the distinct things that I've noticed, and you know, good listeners, you obviously know I was not born here because of my accent, but one of the most major differences that I notice around town, 30 years ago, actually 35 years ago, when I first came here, I was noticing how everybody smiled. Nowadays, you don't see many of those people smiling. So maybe start smiling. and just try out what's going on, as Dr. Mitchell is recommending. Google them, ask questions, look for referrals, look for, you know, all possibilities. That would be fantastic. Now, we have the million-dollar question. I'm going to put you on the spot, Nanette.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do yourself to live a better, healthier, joyful life? Could you share some of the practices you engage on a daily basis? And since you are such a wonderful practitioner of all this, those would be good places to start for our listeners.
Well, one thing I do is every day when I wake up, I feel joyful.
Nice.
Whether my feet hurt or my wrists hurt, every day when I get up, I'm happy to be alive and be able to get out of bed.
Okay.
So that joy is so important. And every night, and I think it's because every night before I go to sleep, I write down in a journal 5 things that I'm grateful for. So when I go to bed at night, my mind is set in a joyful, grateful place. I think love is so important, and gratefulness is so important, because people are often so focused on what they don't have, what they need to do, what they could have or could be. But when you go to bed and your mind is full of things that you're thankful for, you wake up with that joy, and that's so important. I also have been doing yoga for quite a few years, and for me, I find a lot of joy in that.
Okay.
And meditation, just keeping your mind in this society, you're inundated with so much information, and then there's emails and Facebook and Twitter and constant information. It can be overwhelming. So you really have to calm yourself down and not be so frenetic. Spend time. That's why I like the yoga, quiet time and peaceful time, getting your energy, your chi flowing through your body. And if you don't do that, you lose touch with your own intuition. And I think that's the key. You have... You know what you need. You don't even really need to tell someone to tell you. You know what you need. But you need to have that stillness and quiet time to figure all that out.
Fantastic. And doing all this, do you expect to be always happy, cheery, never challenged, Nanette?
Well, like you were saying earlier, you know, everything comes in waves, but it's really how your mind is set for it. Is the glass half full, is it glass half empty? I've seen people dying from cancer with joy in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
No, they aren't running around, they're in the bed, but they have peace in their heart, and they have love in their heart. And compassion, that's just whatever is going on with you. That's going to affect, it's what the thoughts you have in your mind are going to affect how you feel and how you deal with it. So that's why I love Healing Pack and the energy healing and the meditations and keeping people forgiving and compassionate makes all the difference.
Thank you so much. We do love you back, and we really, really appreciate taking time off on this beautiful, rainy time and day to spend some time with us. We know that we have only touched on the surface of some of these good practices and our good listeners. That is just the perfect place to get started as any. Nanette shared, Dr. Mitchell shared a very good point. Trust your intuition. Trust your heart. Trust you. We know we have not done perfectly in the past. We know we have made mistakes. We know we could have done better. And we also know that our bodies are like a bucket. Whatever we pour inside is going to fill us up, and start flowing outwards. So it's good to fill ourselves up, as Nanit was suggesting, with love, with joy, with peace, with compassion. There is help. There are many, many, many wonderful professionals, just like Dr. Mitchell, well educated and well practiced in the areas that we are trying to learn about, we are trying to practice, we are trying to integrate into our lives. All we have to do is reach out and ask. The help comes, the challenges come. Every challenge is an opportunity for improvement and growth. The joy and the satisfaction of achieving comes. Everything is out there. Please, please, please reach out. Help someone. Ask for help. Whatever it is that you want to do, just get engaged. Get active. Start doing. Thank you so much, Dr. Mitchell. Thank you so much, dear Nanette, for taking the time to come and talk with us on this day. Are there any final words or messages or recommendations you would like to share with Healing Packers?
Yes, Eamon, I would just like again to appreciate the time spent with you and your listeners today. I just like to leave one last thought, a quote from Rumi, one of my favorite poets, and the quote is, "The universe is not outside of you. Look inside yourself. Everything that you want, you all are already that."
Excellent quote.
Okay, thank you so much again.
Thank you so much, Nanette. Have a fantastic day. Do come back and visit us. I would love to, as we talk about this, if you get a chance to come by to the seminars on the monthly basis, please do stop by. We'd love to have you. We appreciate your being with us, and we look forward to learning from you further lessons and possibly return interviews.
Yeah, very, very enjoyable sessions in Irvine.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Our good listeners, have yourself a wonderful time. Smile, live your life the way that you want to live it. Enjoy yourself. Keep coming back. Keep doing. Contact us at help@healimpact.org. We love to bring you value. And we thank you for keeping us in your hearts, on your minds, and sharing with your friends. Take care, everybody. Goodbye, dear Nanette.
Goodbye, Eamon.
Bye-bye.